Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we have another opportunity to gather together, to seek your face, to draw near to you, to hear your word, Father God, and learn from it. Holy Spirit, teach us, guide us, help us to understand your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I have a lot to cover today. This is my final message in a series I didn't know I was going to create. I didn't. We were just going to talk about parenting, really, in the beginning, and it evolved into something else. Do you know that the creation of this series is the Holy Spirit? But it's beyond that, it's all of us creating together. I come to the table with what I come to the table with, but your desire, your curiosity, your heart, your openness for more causes the Holy Spirit to do more. And so this is collectively created. The Holy Spirit orchestrated us, but our collective heart openness to the Lord produced what we're doing today. So it started off as a parenting thing. We would talk about parenting and discipleship and sexuality and marriage and divorce and men. We talk about what men need to do. And today, our final message in this series is going to address the proper care and treatment of husbands. The proper care and treatment of husbands. Okay. All right, brothers, I need you to be cool, though. I need you to be cool. Okay? Okay? This is why I'm saying that, okay? Because listen, and I'm serious about this part, okay? After saying what I'm saying, if you go home and she doesn't respond to any of what I'm saying, okay, I need you to be cool. Okay? I need you to give her space. You know, you don't want her elbowing you in the service, right? And if bring it up, only talk about it if she talk about it. If she don't talk about it, you don't talk about it. Because as I have a reading list here and there's some things for you to do. So if she's not responding to this message, what you do is you give her to the Lord and you focus on your homework. She focuses on her homework and you focus on your homework. Amen? Okay, I'm throwing you this alley-oop. Don't mess it up. Don't mess it up. Okay, all right, praise God. So I'm going to go over some of the materials that I have. Because part of this, really, to be honest with you, I'm peddling books. And books I didn't write. I don't make any money off the books. But I want you to get the material. So some of this is going to be a commercial for some of the books I want you to purchase on Amazon or what have you to get in this. And there's not just stuff for the women, there's stuff for the men. So I'm going to go over this quickly. So if you go to the back of your notes, you see the additional resources. I'm just going to briefly mention them. The first is something we did on Father's Day, 4 things women want from a man. This is the benefit for both men and women. It's what women want from a man and what men need to do to be mature men and to be men of God, all right? So we talked about this before, but I'm just mentioning it again. So men, this is good to get. So this is by A.R. Bernard. The second book is, this is a doozy, The Proper Care and Feeding of Husbands by Dr. Laura Schlesinger. And I'll say this, she's something else. Okay, so this is not most of the book. She does have some political views. She's on the conservative end. She has some pointed statements about things. I'm not pushing this book for those statements. You can decide what you think about her politics. But despite that, I didn't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. She's made some telling statements about how wives should treat their husbands. Okay, so because of her personality type and the whole nine, she may or may not be your person. But if you need a swift kick in the rear, she is your chick. She is your chick. Just saying. Okay, The Proper Care and Feeding of Husbands. The next book is For Women Only, okay, by Shante Feldon, and for what you need to know about the inner lives of men. Fantastic book, going to be quoting from it today, and just wonderful, practical, from a woman to women, about how you respond to your husbands. Fantastic book. I have another book. This is for men only. A Straightforward Guide to the Inner Lives of Women. Okay, so remember I said the women have their homework, the men have their homework, and for the guys, it even comes with a little quick start guide here. If you need a little help, need a review, has something there for you, okay? So get this book, and you can better understand your wife and what she needs, and if she's having trouble responding to the things she needs to do, maybe you should do some of the things you need to do. Amen? All right, so we got that there. We have A wonderful book. John Gray, Mars and Venus Together Forever, A Practical Guide to Creating Lasting Intimacy. John Gray has become almost a cliche, the whole men are from Mars, women from Venus thing. People in these days, people are like, well, I don't know about the whole gender-related personality stuff. And, you know, I believe there are times to talk about men and women being the same, because they are, and times to talk about men and women being different, because they are. It's both, okay? And he talks about some of the differences and how it affects our relationships. A fantastic read, a lot of practical things there. Two more things. There's another book. I don't have a copy of it with me here, but a wonderful book. It's called The Seven Principles of Making Marriage Work by John Gottman. And it's not, this one is one of the books that's not tied to gender dynamics. It's pretty much, you know, personality and emotional and social dynamics in the relationship. It is fantastic. We actually use it in our marriage center at Biola University for young couples. You should get a copy of that. It has a lot of things going on. And then finally, this is not a book on marriage, but it has to do with spiritual warfare. And I put it up here, and I actually have one quote from this book. It's called The Three Battlegrounds. And so there's all kinds of spiritual dynamics that you might want to be attuned to as you're addressing needs in your relationships, okay? Make an investment and buy the books. Read them, reread them, highlight them, underline them, study them. Some of these authors have workshops and other kinds of resources. Get those too. Amen? But we're going to get right into it here, the proper care and treatment of husbands. Ready? Here we go. And by the way, these notes should be available online if you don't want to sit down and write and fill in all the blanks. On Monday after 12 o'clock, you can get copies of these notes on the website. All right, so I'm going to piggyback from last week's message here on divorce. So I'm going to talk about the broader implications for divorce, and we'll go into the subject. The seeds of divorce were planted in the garden, creating a fundamental shift in the way men and women related to each other. The spirit of divorce extends to the larger society, creating a world in which men and women live segregated from each other. We live in a modern and contemporary society now, but still you experience some of that segregation. For centuries, men decided we don't need women thinking. Don't educate them. We don't need them in the workplace. We don't need their input. We don't need their thoughts. Women, you do women things. Men will do men things. This is part of the spirit and the separation of men from women when God actually designed for men and women to work together. We're not designed to work independent of each other. We need each other. Amen. Men need women and women need men, not just in marriage, but in society. This is counterproductive when we're segregated from each other, because God said from the beginning that it is not good that man be alone. Men should not live in a world that excludes women and dismisses what is valuable and important to them. I'm going to continue. This is because, by definition, a woman is literally help that comes from the Lord. A woman is literally help that comes from the Lord. Think about that. Think about the power behind that. The implications of that. Men should not be saying, we don't need you. Right. That's idiotic. Yeah. Men, when women help you, it is the Lord helping you. Good. When you resist her, you're resisting the Lord, because she is the help that comes from him. Men resisting women is like people in general resisting the Holy Spirit. Men resisting women is like people in general resisting the Holy Spirit. People resist the Holy Spirit because they don't like the way he reasons. People resist the Holy Spirit because they don't like the way he reasons. Rather than rely on the Holy Spirit,
They would prefer to be guided by their intellect or natural thinking. Men resist women because they don't like the way women reason.
What an amen, brothers. What happened to them amens? Okay.
Rather than receive the help God sends through women, men would rather rely on their own intellect because they think their way is inherently better.
Brothers, I'm going to get to you, but we got to get through this part. We got to understand this part first. An alley-oop has to be set up. Come on, I got to throw it, and then you dunk. Yeah. Okay.
Many people discriminate against the Holy Spirit because they do not think he is God, the way the Father is God, and the way the Son is God. Likewise, men discriminate against women because they don't believe she is made in the image of God the way they are. But the first thing Adam said when he saw Eve was, "We're the same." Genesis 2:23 says, "Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. We're made of the same substance. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Okay. So do we got that? A woman is help from the Lord. Okay. Now, even without this biblical insight, women are perplexed that men are not eagerly receptive to their help. They're sitting there. They got a better way of doing it. They have the answer. You don't have to do it this way. It's easier. It's cheaper. It's faster. We don't have to go through this drama. And if you just do it the way I tell you, life would be easier, and you don't understand why a man would resist this wonderful help. This message is designed to address this perplexity with a special focus on the relationship between men and women in marriage. So some of these principles may apply to working with men in general, but the focus is men and women in relationship, in the marriage relationship. The biggest mistake most wives make is providing help without addressing needs. Providing help without addressing needs. In essence, they are helping, but on their own terms. See, your help is a kind of superpower, right? But you just can't go, like, you've seen superhero movies. You can't go save everybody. I mean, you just can't. You can't go take every cat out of the tree. Like, you have to prioritize where you're going to use it. If you're a wealthy person, you can't buy dinner for everybody all the time, can you? You got it. But it's better for you and them if sometimes you let people pay for their own food, even though you have more than enough to cover everybody. You got a superpower. You got a steward. You can't just use it every time you want to. I was on a trip recently, and there was a man. Actually, I was in the Dominican Republic last week, and one of the pastors on the trip, he's actually a very famous recording artist. I didn't know who he was because his stuff is in a different arena I'm not familiar with, but he's very won some Grammys, songwriter, the whole nine, and I barely kind of found out. And I said, "I'm sorry, I don't recognize you." He said, "Don't worry about that. He's not really trying to let people know that on this trip." Why? He's being a steward of his fame. Like, I can't go around just dropping the fame card everywhere I go. I can't do that. You might be a leader. You might have the gift of directional clarity. But you just can't go around telling people what to do every time, even though if they did what you said, it would be better. You got to decide when to use it and when not to use it and respond to the need at the moment, even if it's not what you want to do. Ironically, sometimes you can help in ways that are not meaningful. They have short-sighted vision of what help is, and so sometimes people help in a way that is merely self-serving. Self-serving, but not responding to the man's need. The needs of your husband lie in places you're not often looking. You have a profound impact on him emotionally. Emotionally. A wife is probably the most powerful influence on a man, a married man, emotionally. In ways it's hard to describe. I'm going to try to describe them today. About the implications you have for his emotions. When a man's needs from his wife are not met, he can become lonely, depressed, frustrated, angry, and bitter. Husband neglect is a thing. Now, before I go on, guys, the criticisms you've voiced about your wives in the past, they actually take that more seriously than they let on or that you think they do. So as I talk about this and as I'm saying things that are exposing things how you feel, I actually need you to be sensitive to her response to this. Because it's different when I was talking to the men about what men need to do. And we are addressing some of those things, but as we talk about this, I need you to be observant and to discern how your wife is processing this, because I guarantee you she's taking this to heart in ways you can't imagine. So be sensitive and be discerning and be patient. You often would not know the depth of a man's pain because, generally speaking, men are not emotionally expressive. Speaking in generalizations, some men are more emotionally expressive, others aren't. I'm using generalizations today for a purpose. Men initially attempt to tough it out. Men turn to alcohol, workaholism, affairs, and other unhealthy behaviors when their attempts to man up fail. Men are not motivated to discuss their problems with their wives because it makes them feel weak. And they anticipate that their wives will respond with criticism, which makes them feel weaker. Men are often not aware of or make the time to participate in healthy opportunities to discuss their problems with other men. So they internalize it. They internalize it. Men in loneliness and depression, huge, huge issue. As I was saying a few sermons ago, the world makes the bar scene and the strip joint scene like glamorous. And I'm not saying there's not men who go to those places and don't enjoy themselves, but I'm saying there's a lot of guys, they're depressed. Because that woman they see on stage, she ain't rejecting him. It doesn't require him to change or do anything. It's just, but they're struggling. So here's the answer. How should women respond? I'm going to explain this step by step. And I'm going to be quoting from some of these books. The first thing, surprise, surprise, prayer. Let's go to Proverbs 9:10. I'm just going to read it. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." There are huge controversies and debates about the scriptures that talk about wives submitting to their husbands. And I'm not going to go into detail on those controversies. But what I will say is that what is far more important and significant then the matter of submitting to your husband is the matter of submitting to God. Amen. Submit to God. Yeah. In other words, are you submitting the way you engage with your husband to the Lord? Does he have the last word on how you treat and respond to your husband? Our attitudes about our husbands, about your husband, are those things being subject to the review of the Holy Spirit? Our relationship with God shapes every human relationship we have. Yes, even the one we have with our spouses. The scripture says if you love God, you love your brother and your sister. So we cannot approach marriage the way the world does with a 50-50 attitude, with a you cross me, I'm out of here attitude. Or no, where our spouses act immaturely, we must respond with maturity and the love of God, with patience, kindness, compassion, forgiveness, and countless other attributes of Christ. This, of course, goes for men and women, but today I'm focusing on the women here and their response. So first is prayer and getting, and so once we pray and we talk to the Lord, we get perspective. If you look at Hebrews 12:1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I'm going to read Colossians 3:2. It says, set your minds on things that are above and not on things that are on the earth. Here's what I'm drawing from those two scriptures about perspective. The first is, stop being clouded by social expectations and emotional weights. So here's the thing that we need to understand, men, is that women are often under, now men have their own pressures, but women are under constant pressure socially. Socially. As she's getting dressed, as she's putting on her makeup, she is strategizing for the day. She has to understand the social implications of a fashion decision. Because when she walks into the room, she knows there are going to be people talking, judging, criticizing, wondering, and she's so uptight about certain things because if it's not right, she's going to bear the blame for it, not you. And that's one reason amongst others that certain things are particular for her because of those, the constant social pressures. You can throw on some jeans, a t-shirt, and some kicks, and you out the door. You just go about your business and, you know, throw on a hat or whatever. She can't do, I mean, she can do that, but if she do that, she makes herself vulnerable to the social police. That's a real thing. And she carries all that emotional weight and the hurt and the pain. And some women walk into a room, they don't, poor lady, she don't have a chance. The other ladies don't even know her. And they mad at her because of her shoes. But ladies, with the Lord, you got to lay those aside. And I know I'm a male speaking on this. I have not experienced this personally. But I know the Lord has a response for that too, if you give it to him. Amen. Most women, your issue is not dropping physical weight. It's dropping emotional weight. And in many cases, the two are related, of course. But it's the emotional weight. If you drop that, your life will change dramatically. And as you pray, you get a clear vision from God about what help is for your husband. As I mentioned last week, when Eve ate the fruit, what I personally think, this is just my opinion, is that some of her motivation was, I think this is going to help my husband. And if I eat it, he'll eat it. And so what she did, she had her own way of helping him on her terms and ended up being used by the devil, literally. Instead of saying, okay, serpent, I hear you. God, you gave me this man. What is your vision for him?
What do you want for him? How can I use my gifts to participate in what you want for him? Your husband is God's son. That's his boy. And he cares about how you respond to him. Next word, precision. Proverbs 4:18. It reads, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The word I have for that is clarity. We go to God, and he helps us see things clearly. Again, because of social expectations and emotional weights, vision is clouded. All the issues just kind of roll together. And to some of that, that's part of your makeup, to kind of think about multiple things at the same time. So I'm not saying that that's inherently wrong, but when we're doing that without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we can become so clouded that we can't see things clearly and respond precisely. A lot of activity, a lot of helping, but not responding to the need if we're not precise. But check this out. The first place that a woman needs to be clear is how to care for herself. Personal care. Address misplaced priorities spiritually, socially, emotionally, and physically, etc. Personal care, well, I'll get to that in a second. You won't care for your husband well if you're not caring for yourself. And for many women, they help everybody else and they don't help themselves. And let me tell you, that's selfish to not take care of yourself, because you will not be in a place to actually help people well if you are debilitated. And it'll feel selfish to do it, but you gotta do it. It may feel selfish to go to the spa, but if that's what you need, you gotta do it. Are you a jogger? Do you get energy from running? Get your jog on. Are you a person that needs time to pray? Do what you got to do for you, and then you won't be as encumbered when it's time to minister to your husband. And here's the thing. Personal care also involves lovingly communicating what you need from your husband so that he can respond, so that you can respond to his needs. Say, honey, I want to do all these things, but here's how you can support me. If you handle these things, my mind will be clearer. But when you communicate to him, men need direct communication. They can't always expect that from you, I know, but on this matter, you got to be direct. And if you need someone to help you write it out first, so you stick to the script, women like to tell stories. But you say it's information. So you come home and be like, honey, I got some information. The fate of the world depends on it. And he's like, what? Do I have to buy something? Somebody in the hospital? And then you tell a story. And we're trying to stop. He's like, wait a minute. Why did so-and-so do so-and-so? And you're like, listen. And we're sitting there like, okay. And he was like, but wait a minute. Why was I? Listen. He can't listen because you put he's looking for that information because he knows he has to make a decision on that information. And then you say it at the end, and then you say, yeah, somebody hurt their nail. I'm saying that in a funny way, but I'm saying the information at the end doesn't have the weight that you've advertised. And so he can't listen to you. He ain't listening. He ain't listening. So this is what you do, ladies. This is what you do. If you want a man to listen, give him information. One word. Story time. Hey, babe. Story time. A man knows what to do with that. Because what do you do with a story? You listen to a story. You analyze information, but you listen to a story. Hey, babe, story time. Cool. I'm going to get my popcorn. I'm going to get my recliner. And he'll be sitting there, really? Did he really say that? I can't believe it. Ooh. You're giving him information. He needs subtitles, transition sentences, paragraph breaks.
And then when you ask him something, a man needs three things. He needs a job description. He needs, what does it look like when I'm done? And when am I going to get paid? Those three things, he'll do it. Now, again, you're not going to always speak that way. Because men do men stuff, women do women stuff. But listen, there are times when you got to communicate to him, you got to give it to him in his language. There's times he has to communicate in your language. Prudence is the next concept. Proverbs 24:6. For by wise guidance you can wage war, and an abundance of counselors there is victory. What's the principle here? Don't just start shooting if you're in war. You see a man doing something, he ain't doing it right. Give him a chance to figure it out. He might be doing it wrong. But if nobody's going to die, nobody's going to get sick, is that no major financial cost? Okay, so he doesn't scramble the eggs right. You're going to be gone. You got to make the kids breakfast. He know how to cook breakfast. It just don't look like the way you cook breakfast. He might order a pizza. Let him do it. Listen, if you were no longer around and he had to raise those kids by himself, those kids would get raised. But a man, he would raise those kids in a way that worked for him. Ain't going to be your way, but it's going to be all right. He needs you to trust his judgment. He needs you to trust his abilities, his competencies. And you know what? In some instances, he'll actually adopt some of the things you do because he figured it out for himself. You know what? Her way is actually better. Okay, okay. But he got to figure that out on his own. So you have to be strategic. Now, again, unless it's an emergency or somebody about to fall off the cliff or it is a real issue, let him do it. Let him do it. You married a grown man. He may not be acting like it sometimes. He a grown man. He ain't a boy. Don't talk to your man like he's your youngest child. He doesn't, Here we go. Put him first. Put your husband first. After God, it's God, husband, then kids. Same for him. For him, it's God, wife, then kids. Y'all laughing, but you know it's true. And I'm going to quote Dr. Laura from Laura's book. This is a man who wrote into her show. He says, no, this is her talking. This is not a man running. She says, literally hundreds of men have written to me about their pain. I'm quoting her. With being marginalized after their children were born. Once their wives became mothers, they had no time to be wives. The men would even compliment their wives on being great mothers, but express considerable pain over not being shown love, affection, or sexual interest. The typical reply from a wife challenged with this was, I only have time to take care of one person, and our child is that person. I'm just too tired for you. This puts fathers in the ugly and uncomfortable position of feeling competitive with and resentful of their own children. Y'all might think that's immature. That's real. That's a real thing. And they love their children. They miss the affection, companionship, and lovemaking they used to share with their wives. They feel put aside, shut out, and unimportant. I'm talking about how he feels. He may not say it. This is how he feels. And then he feels like he has to put up with it because if he says something, he will be utterly criticized. That's page 28 of the fiery doctor, Dr. Laura. I'm going to read Proverbs. It says 15:22. It should say 15:23. To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is. Proverbs 25:24. It is better to live in a corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. Man, talking about man's emotions here, okay? 27:15-16. Proverbs 27, 15 through 16. A continual dripping on a rainy day and a quarrelsome wife are alike. To restrain her is to restrain the wind and to grasp oil in one's right hand. These are metaphors that describe not really who you are, but how the man feels emotionally. Can you see the difference? You're not the rain, but he feels that way when he is constantly criticized. You're calling it help, and most of the time you have good intentions. But I'm telling you how he hears and experiences that and why he resists it. So the answer is praise, constant praise. And I'll get to this, but to be honest with you, like I can sum up this whole message and say this. Constant praise and regular sex. He'd be good to go. He'd be good to go. And I'm saying that with a straight face. I'm saying that with a straight face. See, listen, because of our society, we associate male sexuality with immaturity. And rightfully, I mean, you from junior high school, little boys are just immature, right? Immaturity, personal violating people, violence. We got the Me Too movement now who is rightfully addressing people who've been victimized by sexual assault. So, but the only connotations we have of male sexuality is immaturity, inappropriate. But it's called testosterone. God gave men testosterone. They have a sex drive that's different from women. And sex is a need emotionally as much as it is physically. It's a need. A need. We'll get to that in a second here. So the first thing, praise. You got to affirm your man. In fact, you probably need to affirm him 5 times as much as you criticize him. So if you want to keep criticizing him, fine, but you're going to have to affirm him 5 times as much for him to feel the effect. Appreciation, thankfulness. Philippians 2:14, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Be thankful. Don't give him the Eeyore report. Y'all know Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh? He was that donkey. Man, he was comically depressed. Hey, Eeyore, you just won the lottery. You got $5 million. Yeah, but I probably wouldn't know how to spend it. Hey, Eeyore, you just got promoted. Yeah, but I probably couldn't handle the pressure. Hey, Eeyore, are you happy about anything? Well, too much happiness gives me gas. That's how some husbands feel. They come home and they say, can you be happy about anything? Is there anything you're happy about? I'm going to quote Dr. Laura on this one here. She says this, the cruelest thing a wife can do to a husband is to never be happy. Never be happy. There's also, honey, go do this. And how come this wasn't done? You know, and you're trying to help and you're emoting. And some of that you need to do with your girlfriends. Do some of that with your girlfriends. Get some of that out. Again, personal care. He got to deal with some of that. He married to you. But if it's constant and it's the only kind of communication he gets from you, he gets depressed. Some men get depressed. Acknowledgement, especially of what they do at work. A man has an emotional need to provide, emotional need. Even if you made all the money, an emotional need to provide. He wants to be appreciated when he comes home. That you acknowledge he is doing this for the family. And this is why some men are reluctant to get married, because they don't think their personal finances and work game is up to par. And they're afraid of not living up to what their woman needs. And when you criticize everything he's not doing around the house and never acknowledge what he's doing day to day to help the family, the man feels betrayed and alone and depressed. approval and acceptance. It's not perfect, but approve it. It's not how you would do it, approve it. Again, if it's not a life-threatening thing, you gone, he don't do it that way, let him, however he works out with the kids, let him figure it out. How else is he going to help you? Because this is what husbands do. They know their wives aren't going to let them dress the kids and do all these other things. Not all wives are like this, but some men, their wives are micromanaging everything, so they don't even try. They just wait, and they just sit there and say, okay, she's going to do it anyway. I'm not going to take any initiative. You're mommying him. He's one of the kids. You know, Sinbad has that joke about, you know, mama dress everybody. He's sitting there with the kids waiting for, wait, what he going to wear? And if you let him do it, he might actually have a good idea. Treat that man like a man. Respect. This is another way of praising your man. And I'm not going to go over in detail. I'm just going to list some of these things. But in the book For Women Only, pages 29 through 48, respect his judgment. Respect his abilities. Respect in communication. Sometimes it's not just what you say, it's how you say it. We're not getting intimate tonight. You don't have to say, no, are you crazy? Let me tell you something. What it's like being a man and you have physical needs. You ever been hungry before? Imagine if you was hungry all the time and there was food everywhere. Gourmet food, cheap food, free food, everywhere. You can't have none of it. Only place you can eat is one restaurant. It's only open certain times of the week. Sometimes, certain times. You know I'm telling the truth? Sometimes certain times of the month, and some for some brothers, certain times of the year. Real talk. Real talk. And the hours, they kind of up there, but you still got to knock to see if they in open for business that day. So you knock on the door, and you looking at the window, man. They got all your favorites. And you look in your chops. You ready to go. You can smell it. You knock on the door. The manager comes out. You say, are you open for service today? And the manager says, how can you think of food at a time like this? Real talk. This is real talk right here. I know we're laughing. Okay. Now, I'm going to say this. Any man who would cheat on his wife, that's a weak move. That's a weak move. I don't defend that. I don't support that. What I will say is that some men who want to be faithful, they don't have the stamina to respond to a situation where their wife is not responding to them physically. And they run into a situation where there's another woman telling him everything he wants to hear, willing to do everything he wants to do. Now, if he cheats, that's on him. That's his responsibility. That's not your fault if he does that. But you need to understand what for a man to remain faithful in those circumstances is a very mature guy. Very mature guy. And you shouldn't be saying no to him most of the time. If that's the case, what you both have to say is, what is in our context that is creating this dynamic? Okay. What is in our circumstance? Because it may not be totally you saying no. Sometimes it's a contextual thing, environmental thing, work situation,
home situation, it's not just on one person, but you have to step back and say, if he's hearing no most of the time, something is wrong with the context. And the two of you need to address it. I'm serious about this. If you don't have energy, what do we need to do? What needs to change? Do you need to take vitamins? Do you need to exercise more just for the metabolism? What do I need to take off the plate? Because ladies, let me tell you, some things you do, you're volunteering to do that. You don't have to do it. You're doing it because of the social pressure. You're doing it because of the social pressure. You don't actually have to do it. And men, watch this. Throughout the day, you are Elastigirl. From the time the kids go to school to the night, don't nobody mess with your kids. They left their lunch. Oh, I'm gonna make sure they get their lunch, because then people ain't going to think I don't give my kids food. And I'm going to make sure they dress. And then it's 8 o'clock. Y'all in the bed. And he like, well, what happened to Elastigirl? You're like, oh, she went home. She went home. You don't have no more superpowers. Yeah, but I cook and I clean and I got a job. Yeah, but you don't do that for him. You would do that anyway. What do you do for him? You can't be a mommy all day. You got to be a wife too. You got to be a wife. And I'm running out of time, so I won't be able to quote all the things I wanted to quote, but I will say a man cares how you look visually. It ain't about your weight. It's less about your weight than you think. An incredibly attractive woman can be ugly to a man if she's constantly rejecting him. I'm going to make this quote here. This man says this. Your sexual, from Dr. Laura's book, your sexual personality determines a lot in how your husband sees you. The most beautiful woman in the world who says no all the time to any and all sexual suggestions or overtures becomes ugly in his eyes in a big hurry. A supposedly plain looking woman who is a more than willing love partner with a good imagination in the bedroom, living room, shower, backseat, secluded woods, you get the idea, becomes one of the most beautiful women in the world. You worried about weight, and that's a part of it, but it's what your man experiences when you say this part of his life is important to him, and I'm going to make sure he's taken care of. That's all I can say. I'm done. Okay. Get these books. Get these books. Okay, so I don't have time to do a traditional altar call. I don't. So this is what I'm going to do. Ladies, if you want God's help, and being the wife you know God wants you to be, here's the question. Are you open to his help? Because some of this stuff I'm saying is overwhelming because of the responsibilities you have. And for some of you, you know what? Your husbands aren't doing everything they should be doing. So you're like, I'm going to do all this. And he's sitting over there high, you know, doing his thing. And then I'm going to be left high and dry. But you got to do what I'm telling the brothers to do. If they go home and they find that you're not responding to this, I already told them. You got to give your spouse to the Lord. And you got to find joy in the Lord. And he needs to focus on his homework because he got things to do. But as we said, responsibility is taking care of the things we can take care of. And it may sound crude. It may even sound biased because I'm a male preacher. But I'm telling you, if you respond to your husband's needs, he will be a changed man. It may not happen the next day,
But be consistent with this for a month, for several months, and watch how your man changes, because he's getting what he needs from his wife. So ladies, I'm not going to make you come up here. I won't put you on the spot. But I'm going to say something up here that if this applies to you and your faith is attached to it, the Lord will respond to the cry of your heart. Is that okay? So I don't want to put anyone on the spot. So if we can all just say the prayer together. Hallelujah. And the parts that apply to women, just the women can say. Okay? Father, I come to you now. I give you my heart. The spouse that you gave me is your child. I want to respect the person I married. I want to love the person I married. Well, Lord, help me. Empower me. Give me a different vision for how I approach my spouse. Search my heart. Is there anything in my heart that I need to change to be more pleasing to you and to respond to my spouse's needs? Lord, I know that you've heard me, and by faith I receive your answer. Empower me. My heart is open. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that, the channels of communication are now open. Receive from the Lord. Amen. And with that, do we have any first-time visitors? Amen. Amen.